Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. As you already heard, the sermon title is, So What? Is my tone right? So what? The text is taken from today's gospel reading, John chapter 20. Last week, we celebrated Easter, the resurrection of our Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ. And today we ask, so what? On Friday, Jesus won the forgiveness of all sins for all people by dying on the cross. That will relieve us of all guilty and condemnation before God. We have peace, the true peace, because we are at peace with God. We never have to despair, never have to fear death, never have to worry if we are saved or not. The cross of Jesus has overcome all that. On Easter Sunday, Jesus proved that eternal life for his people was guaranteed by rising from the cold tomb to life again. So we have hope. No matter what happens in this life, there is nothing, no person, no situation, no event that can overcome us, for we have a glorious future. Not even death can stop us. We have been assured of life after that, a life better than this one, a life which is perfect in every way, a life which never ends, because Jesus is alive. The empty tomb of Jesus makes that certain. So, now, what? It's easy to feel a letdown on the Sunday after Easter. Attendance of our worship, you can see, is less. The visitors and occasional attenders have stayed home. The special services are over. There are no more special events, such as Easter hands or Easter breakfast. However, there is still a lot to be excited about. We have the most wonderful, life-giving, and life-changing message the world has ever known or ever will know. But there are many people out there who do not know it. There are many members of our church who, by their actions, apparently don't believe it. We have a wonderful opportunity and an awesome responsibility to get the message out. But how do we do it? So what? A lot of church members think the best way to accomplish this goal is through personal testimonies. When people talk about their personal testimony, they are referring to their personal experience with Jesus. They talk about what Jesus has done for them and what he means to them. Now, all of this sounds good. It seems very real and a good way to help people enter into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Or is it? In today's gospel reading, 10 of the apostles were gathered together that first Easter evening in a locked room because they were afraid of Jews. Jesus came and stood among them, showing them he was alive. One of the apostles, Thomas, was not there with them. When the others brought their personal testimony to Thomas about their encounter with Jesus, he wouldn't believe them. Let's talk a bit about Thomas. When we heard the name Thomas, in the Bible, what other word comes to our mind? Doubting Thomas, right? You may be interested to know that in the first three Gospels, we are told nothing at all about him. It's in John's Gospel that it comes out as a distinct personality. But even then, there are only about 150 words regarding him. There is not a lot about these disciples in the Bible, but there is more than one description. After Jesus heard Lazarus has died, he turned his face toward Jerusalem. The disciples thought that it would be certain death for all of them. Surprisingly, it was Thomas who said, "Then let us go so that we may die with him." It was a courageous statement. Yet we don't remember him for that. We also fail to point out that in this story of Thomas the doubt, we have the one place in all the gospel where the divinity of Christ is directly and clearly stated. It's interesting, isn't it, that the story that gave the Thomas his infamous nickname is the same story that has Thomas making an earthly shattering confession of faith. Look at his confession. "My Lord and my God, not teacher, not master, not Messiah, but God." It's the only place where Jesus is called God without qualification of any kind. He spoke with conviction as if Thomas was simply recognized a fact, just like 1 + 1 = 2, and the sun is in the sky. "You are my Lord and my God." These are certainly not the words of a doubter. So what? Unfortunately, history has remembered him for this scene where the resurrected Christ appeared to 10 of the apostles behind locked doors. Thomas was not present, and when he heard about the events, he refused to believe it. Maybe he was the forerunner of modern day of cynicism. Maybe the news simply sounded so good to be true. Thomas said, "Unless I see in his hand the marks of the nail and place my finger into the mark of the nails, the place my hands into his side, I will never believe." Actually, the same thing had happened earlier that morning when the women came back from the tomb, bringing their personal testimony about Jesus' resurrection. That testimony was not enough to convince the disciples. Instead, the Gospel of Luke says, "But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense." Personal testimony, while it's something we may enjoy telling and something we think will help, does not change people. One of the problems is that it's often focused on me rather than Jesus. It tells of my experience, my feelings, my take on what Jesus means to me. Secondly, it doesn't have the power or the authority to make a change in people's hearts and lives. What does then? In our gospel lesson for today, Thomas begins not simply as a doubter, but according to the word of our text, as a believer. He ends up a believer. What makes the differences? There are two things that make the differences and they both go together. First of all, there is the word of Jesus. He appears and says, "Peace be with you." This is the word of love, a word of forgiveness, and a word of comfort. As St. Paul would later write, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Second, there is the presence of Jesus. Jesus shows Thomas the nail marks in his hands and the wounds in his side. It doesn't really say whether Thomas actually touched these wounds, as he said he would have to in order to believe. Evidently, the mere presence of Jesus was enough. That, along with the word of Jesus, evoked this confession of faith from Thomas, "My Lord and my God." Both the word and the presence are important here. Mary Magdalene had seen Jesus at the tomb, but did not believe that he was alive until she heard his word, Mary. The same was true for the two disciples on the road to Emmaus the same evening. They saw Jesus and walked with them, but did not believe until he spoke with them and opened the scripture to them. So what? Jesus' word and his presence, these two makes all differences. And we, too, are blessed to have them as we take the message of Easter into our congregation and out to the world. We have the same powerful word of God to speak with his authority. The book of Hebrews says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow." The word of God has the power to kill us with condemnation of the law, and the power to bring us to life with the promise of the gospel. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. We also have the same real presence of Jesus Christ with us. It's not simply the omnipresence of God, the fact that he is present everywhere. Thomas wanted to see the body and the wounds of Jesus, and Jesus showed them to him. Jesus does the same for us today. He took bread and said, "This is my body, given for you." He took wine and said, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." He commanded us to eat and drink of this in remembrance of him. His promise is still in effect. Jesus is present with us today on our altar in the form of bread and wine. Like for Thomas, the word of God has created faith within us, and the real presence of his Son in Holy Communion confirms and comfort that faith. This is the reason why we bring people to the church. It's not to make our attendance look good. It's not to get their support in running this religion institution named as Trinity Lutheran Church. It's not so they can perform some sort of religious duty, nor is to entertain them. We invite people to church so they may hear the word of God, receive the gift of faith, or have the faith, gift of faith strengthened within them, and enjoy the benefit which faith gives. Confess is thereby strengthened. The body and blood of Jesus convey the forgiveness of sins and make us strong for the week ahead. Remember why Thomas first did not believe? He had separated himself from the disciples and therefore in his solitude, missing the resurrection appearance. I think that John is suggesting to us that Christ appears most often within the community of believers that we call the church. And when we separate ourselves from the church, we miss out on his unique presence. Here at the church, the word of God is spoken in a trustworthy way because Jesus has attached his authority to the speaking of his chosen representatives. Of them, Jesus said, "He who listens to you, listen to me." Jesus has also attached the promise of his presence to the gathering of his people. He said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them." Certainly, Jesus is with us in our homes, but here, at the altar, he is present in a special way, his body and blood, in, with, and under the bread and the wine. That this means we never use any personal references when we speak the word of God? No. In our preaching, teaching, in sharing God's word, we often speak about experiences. As you know, Pastor Harold enjoys to share his personal life. Such references are not wrong. However, we need to remember that the emphasis is not on us, our feelings, but on God, his word, and his action for us. You have probably heard this. It's not all about you. Nowhere is that more true than in our effort to get the message of Easter, the benefit of Easter, and the hope of Easter out to people. Faith-inspiring testimony are not about you, but about him. They are not about what you have experienced, but about what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. They are not about what you have to say, but about what he has said. They are not about your presence with someone, but Christ's presence with us and among us. The word of God with the real presence of Jesus Christ makes up the only true faith-inspiring testimony. Now, so what? I will tell you what. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. May we bring this wonderful truth to all. In the name of Jesus. Amen.